God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We know that the Lord will bless to us this reading from his own precious and inspired word. Shall we bow briefly in prayer just before we turn to the preaching of the word of God? Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father, we do thank thee for thy goodness to us. We thank thee for the word of God. We thank thee, O God, for the ministry of thy word. And we ask our Lord today that we might receive benefit, encouragement and instruction through the preaching of the word of God this day. Father, open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of thy truth. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're turning to Psalm 46 for our meditation this morning. This psalm is the song of the Christian warrior. Luther sang it often. Many, many times he sang this psalm. He had it off by heart. And on many difficult occasions when he was facing the enemy, and when trials and troubles and afflictions were upon him, he would turn to this psalm. And rightly, we can call it the song of the Christian warrior. Each note is an inspiration in itself. It's a song of priceless possessions. And we would call our meditation this morning simply, priceless possessions. And as we look at Psalm 46 today, I trust that the Lord will bless us and he will encourage us from his word. I would like you to notice that in verse 1, first of all, we have an infallible refuge. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Here we have an infallible refuge. Surely the life that is hid in God is as safe as God can make it, and is as safe as God himself. And our lives being hid with Christ in God, I cannot help but think or say, if there's such a thing, that here we have got double security in our salvation. Because we are hid with Christ, we're in Christ, and Christ is in God. And here we have got an emphasis upon the security of the believer. And the very first verse of Psalm 46, we are reminded of an infallible refuge. Praise God, today we have a place where we can find safety, refuge, and a haven. And it's in Christ, the God of our salvation. My In Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27, we have these wonderful words, "The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." And so our refuge is not one that is passing or fleeting. It's not temporal. It's not made out of this world. It's not something that has been created. It's something that is everlasting. It's in God. God is the refuge of His people. And to hide in God is to hide in His love and in His mercy and in His power and in His grace. What a wonderful God we have this morning. That as we live in the midst of a world of trouble, on every side when the hearts of men and women are filling them for fear, and especially in these days, we hear so much about wars and rumors of wars, the atom bomb, the nuclear weapons, and my, there's so much fear generated in the hearts and minds of men and women throughout the world. But let us remember, you and I as God's children this morning, we have a refuge in God who is our strength. And this is an infallible refuge. It's one that nothing can penetrate, no enemy can enter, because we're safe when we're hid and when our lives are hid with Christ in God. What a priceless possession to have an infallible refuge. This means not only perfect safety, but it also will entail perfect self-abandonment to God and to His will and to His work. And the believer today who is totally and perfectly yielded to the will of the Lord. And as Philippians chapter 2 reminds us, when it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus," and if we have got the mind of Christ, surely it will involve self-abandonment. Abandonment of self unto God. A total yielding. And when we're totally surrendered and yielded to the Lord and to His will and to His purpose for our lives, then we will have an infallible refuge. But if we step outside the will of God, or we try to maneuver around the will of God, or we try to evade the plan of God, no matter how much we might scheme and maneuver ourselves, we will not experience this infallible refuge. The Bible says in Psalm 91, "It is He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High that shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." And so in the secret place, where we get time to talk to God and God talks to us, we will know the mind of God, and His will be revealed to us, and then we will have that glorious experience and the rest of knowing it, because we have an infallible refuge in God and His Word. And what a rock He is for us. An eternal, everlasting rock. He's the rock of ages. Cleft for me, let me hide myself in Thee. Oh, may it be that we'll hide in this infallible rock today. What a priceless possession. What a great treasure the people of God have. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Is there a believer here this morning and you're in trouble? Perhaps only the Lord and yourself know exactly what that trouble is. It may be too personal to repeat to a friend, but God knows all about it. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide us till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one. Let us rejoice, or let us come to Him afresh, to our infallible refuge, that we might experience in a deeper measure this priceless possession. Moving on to verses 2 and 3, we have an immovable confidence. "Therefore we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swellings thereof." What has the moving or the shaking of the earth to do with a soul that is dwelling in God? I mentioned nuclear warfare earlier in the meeting. And today there's such a war going on about nuclear bombs. Certain treaties have been signed and countries are not permitted to test or explode their nuclear bombs. And when they do it, it has to go out into the depths of the ocean because it causes such a ruffling, such a shaking, and such a movement. And would these verses not be such a comfort, such an immovable confidence for us today? Even though the earth be removed, and the mountains thereof shake, and the swelling shake. Oh, the great swellings of the depths of the ocean shake today with man's ingenuity, and with what man is forming to destroy mankind. And surely there's a great cause today for men's hearts to fear and feel. But here we have an immovable confidence. And surely to the soul that is dwelling in God, nothing shall shake him. Nothing shall move him. Psalm 62 is a wonderful psalm. Worth reading. "My, the Lord is our rock and our salvation. We shall not be moved." Praise God this morning, the child of God, rooted and grounded and firmly settled in Jesus Christ. Nothing's going to move him. The house that is built upon the eternal rock. And even though the rains fall, and the floods rise, and the winds blow, nothing's going to shake it. It cannot be shaken because it's founded upon a rock. Now that closing part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus spoke to his disciples these reassuring words. My, may we build upon the rock daily. And today as we're reminded afresh that our trust is in the one who is mightier than the noise of many waters. Oh, let not the din of this world's tumult drown the sweet note of the restfulness that Christ gives to us. May it be that today we'll realize afresh this immovable confidence that although the earth be removed and the swelling shake and the mountains fall, we will not be moved. We have a peace, we have a confidence in the blessed rock of ages. It may be that for some today, in your own personal experience, it might seem that everything around you is moving. Nothing is steady, and perhaps you're going through a time in the quicksands and the waters are almost overcoming you. May God through his word today remind you that we have an immovable confidence in his word and in he who is the living word, the blessed Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, let not the noise of many waters, let not the multitude of many troubles dim our vision of God or disturb the rest of our soul. Very often, when a storm arises at sea and the vessel sailing across is greatly tossed about and the waves are raging and they seem so high. But the experts tell us that the deeper the ocean, no matter how great the billows on the surface may seem to appear, the deeper the ocean, the deeper you go, the waters are calm and settled under at rest. And although the storms of life may be raging, surely deep down in the heart of the believer, there's a rest for the people of God. Let us enter into that rest, into that peace, that we might enjoy the full blessing of God, not only in time, but to all eternity. May it be that today we'll be reassured of his immovable confidence. Though we will not fear, though the earth be removed, though the mountains be shake and the swellings thereof roar, and are carried into the midst of the sea. Let us renew our confidence in God today. Ask him to lead us to the rock that is higher than I, so that we might find there a steadying of our mind, a steadying of our faith, a steadying of our confidence, that we may not cast away our confidence, which has great recompense of reward. Oh, may our confidence in the Lord not waver. Abraham staggered not at the promises of God and of God's faithfulness and goodness. And although the times were difficult, he marched on and he went through with God. An immovable confidence and an infallible refuge. And then thirdly, in verse 4, we have an infinite supply. Praise God, the child of God will always be supplied. Look at verse 4. There is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. What a tremendous verse. And in the midst of a world of trouble, in the midst of a world perhaps even of famine, or if trouble should arise and trials and tribulations should overtake us, surely verse 4 here tells us there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. These rivers of delight flow out for the soul that has found his or her refuge in God. They drink now of the rivers of God's pleasure, Psalm 36, verse 8. Now, what a pleasure it is to drink with joy from the wells of salvation, Isaiah 12, verse 2. Now we're led by the still waters of God's great peace and thoughts. Remember Jeremiah 29, verse 11. I know the thoughts I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. What a wonderful thing it is that God thinks about us today. Oh, the disciples were troubled, remember, in John chapter 14, when Jesus just revealed to them the cross and the sufferings that he should undergo. How the disciples were so troubled in heart. And he begins that great chapter, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. The Savior had different thoughts. The disciples' thoughts were troubled. Oh, they realized that terrible things were going to take place. But the Savior had different thoughts for his disciples. May we see the difference? Oh, may the mind of Christ dwell in us richly. May we think upon the things of God. And when we think upon the things of God, my, how blessed we shall be, the thoughts of the Lord. They're great. Isaiah 55 verse 9 tells us they're great because they're higher. They're as high as the heaven is above the earth. They're higher than our thoughts. There are many. Psalm 40 verse 5. Oh, how great is the sum of them. They're peaceful. Jeremiah 29, 11. And they are comforting. Praise God, his thoughts are comforting toward us. How good is the God we adore. Our faithful, unchangeable friend. His love is as great as his power, and it knows neither measure nor end. Oh, may we be refreshed today and strengthened as we dwell by the living streams of the eternal truth of God's word. May we be like trees planted by the river of life. May we draw our sustenance, our strength, our evergreen leaf from the supply that God has made for us. And that he provides for us. The supplies for the new man in Christ. The man who's a believer in the Lord are found in the hiding place of the Lord. A man shall be as an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. May it be it will know that there is an infinite supply. God's river flows on. Flows right from the very throne of heaven itself. Right down through the ages of time to this very day. And today we can be partakers continually drinking of that rock which Paul tells us in Corinthians concerning the Israelites of old. The rock which followed them was Christ, and they drank of it. Oh my, thank God this rock is with us today still. May we drink it. May we come to it often. It will never run dry. Oh, there's an infinite supply. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory. There's a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Does that not gladden God's people? Does it not gladden the house of the Lord, the tabernacle of God? Does it not gladden the people of God, the city of God? Surely it should gladden our hearts today to know that we have these priceless possessions in Christ, an infallible refuge, an immovable confidence, and an infinite supply. And then we have an unfailing comfort. If we look at verses 5-7, God is in the midst of her, she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged, and the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. What an unfailing comfort this is. The Lord of hosts is with us. His abiding presence is the guarantee of our continual protection and our continual supply and our continual staying under his wing. My thank God the Lord of hosts is with us. The presence of the Lord with us as the Lord of hosts is enough to silence every fear that would arise in our hearts and to keep us going on in spite of discouragement and in spite of the way being difficult. And my will know the abiding presence of God as we follow and continue in the pathway of duty and obedience towards the Lord. Thank God we'll know his abiding presence. There may be a host against us, but thank God the Lord of hosts is with us. Look at that verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. Just imagine God with us. Wasn't his name called Emmanuel, which means God with us? And Jesus promised he'll never leave us, nor will he forsake us. I am with you right to the end of the world. And then we'll be with him for all eternity. Never to leave us. Never to forsake us. Surely the Lord of hosts is with us. He's Emmanuel, rightly named. God dwelling, tabernacling, God with his people. God is with us today. Oh, may we draw near to him. May we draw near to the Lord. What an unfailing comfort to know that God is with us. And there's a little verse over in 1 Peter 5:7, and it says, casting all your care upon him, because he careth for you. God is with us to care for us. And we roll on him the burden of our soul and of our heart. How does God care for us? God cares for us as a mother caring and comforting her child. May you know how a mother's love is poured out to her newborn babe. How she loves that little child. It's not able to speak. It can only cry. It can only moan. But the mother understands the very cry of that little child's heart. And she is moved with compassion to comfort and to care and to provide for that little one. And surely God cares for us as a mother comforting her child. We may not understand our own need. We may not be able to express the need of our heart. But God knows our hearts better than we do. And God, just like the mother, he'll be in a hurry to comfort, to sustain and to care and to meet the need when it arises. And surely we have a great God. What an unfailing comfort we have in the Word of God. He cares for us not only as a mother comforting her child, but as a father pitying his children as well. Psalm 103. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth those that fear him. That word can also be rendered, like as a father provideth for his children. Oh, his pity leads him to provide and to protect and to care and to give that leadership that is needed for his family. And surely God will do likewise for us. We are his children by birth, the new birth through the blood of Christ. And God will care for us as a father pitying his son. He knows what's good for him. He'll make provision for him. A good father will make provision for his son's education, for his need as he grows up, make provision for him in the future life. Surely God makes all kinds of provisions for us. We have a great God and a great Savior. Bless his holy name. God cares for us as a bridegroom
careth for his bride. My, how a bridegroom loves her, cares for her. And surely the Lord's love for his children never grows dim. He cares for them as a bridegroom cares for his wife. Oh, and as a hen would care for her chickens. Jesus was very often went around by the shores of the Sea of Galilee. And as he saw Jerusalem one day, he called out, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how often would I have gathered thee together as a hen gathered her chicks under her wings, but he would not. There around the Sea of Galilee, I've never been to Israel, but I understand that around that sea there are mountains. Maybe some have been here, have been there, and told that the windstorms can gather very, very quickly on the Sea of Galilee, and especially if those little boats were crossing, they can be caught in the midst of a storm very suddenly. But there's something about a hen that is worth noting. A hen is very quick to sense the gathering of a windstorm and of the rain. And especially when she has got a brood and she's got chicks. Once she begins to sense it's coming, she gives the little chirp. And the chicks run as she spreads her wings. The winds may blow and the rains fall, but those chicks are warm and comfortable underneath the feathers of the mother hen. And surely it is with God. Doesn't he care for us in such a way? He knows when the storms are rising. He knows when the troubles of life are coming across our pathway, and he calls us, not by a chirp, but through his word. He calls us to take refuge and to hide in him until the storms of life are past. And surely we can take refuge in the God of heaven this morning. We've not only an infallible refuge, an immovable confidence, an infinite supply and an unfailing comfort, but we have an assuring prospect. Come, behold what desolations he hath made in the earth, verses 8 and 9. Come, he maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot with fire. Oh, what an assuring prospect he gives to us. There is here a backward as well as a forward look. And I'm sure you can recall times in the past when God has just done exactly this. When he has made the desolations of men to cease. Remember Babel, when they tried to build the Tower of Babel. Oh, how men tried to reach heaven by their own works. But God destroyed the works and their tower became a desolation. And God will bring the works of men to desolation and to naught. And all that is of the work of the hand or of earth will be destroyed. And surely, as we look forward to the day when Christ shall return, now when the kingdoms of this world and this world itself shall be burned up with fervent heat, surely it will be brought to desolation. We have an assuring prospect. The things of this world will not last forever, but we have a city, an eternal place, an abiding city. Here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. And we look forward to the great hope that is before us, and we'll see Jesus enter into the new Jerusalem, into that new heaven. Praise God, he's coming again. And we look forward to that. We'll look forward to that day, and we must hurry on. There is also a peaceful attitude, if you look at verse 10, look at the peaceful attitude that is afforded to the people of God. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Oh, in the midst of it all, let's be still and know that he is God. Only those who have faith in God can possibly be still when the circumstances around us are apparently adverse. When days of affliction and nights of adversity roll, surely we can be still and know that he is God. But in this stillness of the soul, we can learn to know God. It's when we're still, we learn to know him. May we be still today. The Bible says, in quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Let us hush and let God speak and utter his voice. Let us hear his voice. Many voices are clamoring. Many interests call us. But may we hear the still small voice of God. And may it speak peace, calmness to our souls. Then we have the triumphant result in verse 10 and 11. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Thank God there's a day coming. And Jesus Christ shall reign supreme. When even the swords of men shall be turned into plowshares. The lion shall lie down with the lamb. And the Lord shall rule in the midst of his people. Thank God for this triumphant result. Let us never quiver or fail. Let us keep pressing on. The best is yet to be for the people of God. Thank God, we praise him for all that is past, and we trust him for all that's to come. May the Lord bless his people here in this congregation. And may these priceless possessions be yours daily. And may they enter into the enjoyment of them and the experience of them, so that you might live for God and to glorify him in your own soul, in your own life, day by day, until he comes or until he calls. And then praise him will be with him forevermore. May God bless his word today, for his name's sake. Amen.